Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we learn the secrets to being in business and living a great life without all of that stress. My name is Angela Council and I'm a stress and lifestyle mentor. And this week I am joined by someone really, really special. We're going to have a great conversation here, Dr. Linda Wilson. Now, Linda has a background in traditional Chinese medicine. She's an acupuncturist. She's also an EFT practitioner. And she's written this fantastic book that I've read, and it's called Stress Made Easy, Peeling Women Off the Ceiling. So Linda knows all about stress. I'm all about stress. So I reckon we're going to have a nice, stressy type of conversation today. So welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you so much, Angela. And yes, we're going to be talking about lots of things to do with stress. Absolutely.
So just give our audience a bit of a background of how you came to be doing what you're doing, how you came to write your book. And because I'm going to talk more about the book later, but the picture on the front of the book is absolutely unbelievable. It's really descriptive. But just tell us all about you and the book and how you kind of came into this world of dealing with stress and helping people live a stress-free life, or stress-less life.
Yeah. So, if I go back a little bit to sort of where I come from, I suppose, I grew up in the desert, and I really feel that isolation actually made me feel quite distanced from others. I knew that there was lots of other things going on out there in the world, but I sort of felt quite separated from it all, and I was really fascinated by people. So in the same way that other people are fascinated by gardening or animals, people were my thing. And just so curious always about what it is that makes us tick. Why are we the way that we are? So I basically spent my life looking for ways to connect with others, but especially looking for connection to myself in a really authentic way. And I dabbled in psychology for a little while, but then discovered actually the world of traditional Chinese medicine. And I found out that it offered me a way to understand the mind-body connection and gave me a really holistic approach to health and well-being. And, you know, it's over 5,000 years old. So that was really, really compelling for me. It was just such an intriguing way to think about human beings and sort of how they, you know, tick. So I really resonated with that concept, really wanted to work with energy within people. And it offered me a really expansive view of health rather than the really reductionist view, which is what Western medicine offers. And, you know, we all know, Angela, that's really important. It absolutely has its place, but it really wasn't attractive to me in the same way that traditional Chinese medicine was. So where that has led me in my life is that I now call myself a stress management specialist, and I am a practitioner. I run and own a wellness clinic in southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. I host a weekly radio show where I get to interview brilliant people in the health and wellness space about what they do, and I train corporates to help employees and employers manage their own stress. I'm also a mother of two adolescents, which is the hardest job of all, and I have a mission, and my mission is to exponentially change the evolution of self-care so that we can take greater responsibility for ourselves.
And do you find, because one of the things I find is that the majority of people think that living with stress in their life, high levels of stress, is normal?
Well, that is so true. And I think what happens within our mind, and certainly chemically and within our physical body, is that we become really habituated to a particular level of stress. So we think that we're sort of operating well. Because we've become so used to operating at a particular level. But then what happens is, of course, the body starts to let you know that things are not quite right. So you start to develop aches and pains or illnesses. In extreme cases, people, you know, go through a real physical breakdown of sorts. And or emotionally, people find that they're just not coping. But this can often be after years of really, you know, elevated stress. And by that stage, people don't know how feeling calm and relaxed actually feels.
That's what I used to find in clinic. You know, you'd be talking to women and you'd say, oh, well, what about your stress levels? Oh, no, I'm not stressed. Yet they're coming into you with all of these physical symptoms, which are telling you that their body is stressed, because it's a normal way of life these days, because we're so busy. We're running around. We're trying, as women, trying to be everything to everyone. We've got social media. We've got other people telling us how we should be doing it. So that's just a normal way of life.
And I think that what happens is we lose connection with ourselves, because, you know, we just have to get on with it, right? We have to be the carer for whether that be our children or other members of our family. We have to make a living. We have to do this and do that. And those expectations of ourselves, and often it is actually expectations of ourselves rather than expectations from others, those expectations mean that at some point we have to disconnect from what is really going on within us, and that's when things start to get really tricky.
So what do you see in your clinic are the three biggest issues that, you know, people come to you with? What are you seeing as the biggest things that are, or three or four, whatever, however many they are, but what are you seeing as the biggest drivers for people being in pain or emotionally upset or whatever?
So people come and see me for all kinds of different reasons. So most of the time, these are women who are going through some sort of a transition. So it could be that they're considering getting married, considering getting divorced, they're having, you know, their first children, they're looking at a career change or going back to study, or they have actually identified that they are suffering from either exhaustion or acute levels of anxiety, and that's showing up in their lives. It's freaking them out because they don't really know why, in many instances, they might be experiencing this degree of anxiety, to the extent where people, you know, have panic attacks. And it's not until you sit down and actually look at what's going on that they suddenly, it's like the light comes on and they think to themselves, well, why wouldn't I be having anxiety? Why wouldn't I be having panic attacks?
And what do you see on a physical point of view? Because a lot of people with stress, you talk to anyone about stress, they just think, oh, that's the argument I have with my husband, or that's being busy, whereas stress is physical. So what do you see on a physical level when it comes to stress?
So I see all kinds of behaviours. So it's behaviours is one thing. So they're out doing things in their life that they're really not happy about, and that can be anything from spending too much time on Facebook, to spending too much money going shopping, to creating all kinds of different dramas in their life. But on a purely physical level, I see things like eczemas and dermatitises. Being unable to take big deep breaths, panic attacks, anxieties to the extent where people are sort of locking themselves away in their home and not communicating with people. So these are the sorts of physical things. And, of course, the one that crops up time and time again is illnesses such as fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome.
Isn't it so prevalent these days? Or the other one is IBS, irritable bowel syndrome.
Absolutely. And all of those illnesses are sending you a message. And, you know, my job, and of course your job as well, Angela, is to really help people to try to decode, you know, where is the connection? How can we help them to make that link between what's going on in their mind and what's actually showing up in their body?
And one of the things too, which is one of the big things that I really, really try to focus on, is that not to see these symptoms as something negative, because in the medical world, every time you have a symptom, we've got to get rid of the symptom. But really, a symptom is your body speaking to you. And if you've got a symptom, if you can actually be grateful and say, wow, thanks for telling me, because if your body didn't tell you that there was something wrong and all of a sudden one day you just kind of died, you'd kind of be really annoyed because you didn't know there was something wrong. But now the body's telling you. But as you said, a lot of people aren't connected to that message and they're seeing it as a negative thing, so they just want to stop the symptom.
Absolutely. And, you know, I spend a lot of my time just helping people to actually reconnect to their body, because we spend an enormous amount of our time living from the neck up. So, you know, we operate in our world as though we're a head with a brain, and that's about it. And we dismiss everything that kind of goes, you know, on below that neckline. And often what I find is that people who come and see me are very, very angry with their body for letting them down, for you know, not being able to control it, for stopping them from doing what it is that they think they want to be doing. And, you know, a huge part of what I do is actually teaching people exactly what you said, which is this is your opportunity to learn about what is really going on with you and then change it.
And isn't it ironic that, you know, people, as you said, they're spending all their time in their head and they want to feel good in their head and all that type of stuff. Mm. Yet the majority of our serotonin, which is our feel-good receptors, are all sitting in our gut.
That's it. And you know, sometimes just introducing that concept is mind-blowing for people. And, you know, one of the absolute delights of my work is just really pointing these things out to people, and they develop a holistic understanding. It is not the mind or the body. It is the mind-body.
That's right. So let's also talk, because you do acupuncture, so obviously you work in the TCM model, which I'm absolutely fascinated about and I know a little bit about, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, plus the EFT, which also works on acupressure points as well. So within Chinese medicine, it's a little bit different. The philosophy is different to Western medicine, correct, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's very much about being in harmony.
It is. It's also about, you know, really seeing yourself as part of an entire universe, and that our body is just like one tiny part of a much bigger sort of thing. And it's also very much about, you know, you don't distinguish between what's happening in your mind and what's happening in your body. They are one and the same, and what happens in one happens in the body, which is brilliant because it means that we can use both to change the other if that's what's needed.
And so talk to me a bit more about yin and yang, because I think this is particularly for women these days. We're very much yang orientated, correct?
We absolutely
and this is what's causing a lot of our stress, isn't it?
It really is. So you know, if you think about feminine energy, so that's the yin type energy, what you're talking about there is an inner form of energy, you know, cool, sort of dark, warm places, real connection to emotion. And unfortunately, our lifestyle in many instances actually brings out and develops and overstimulates that yang type energy, which is, you know, traditionally associated with masculine energy, which is very outward, very intense, very full on type energy. And we're living our lives as women on an energy that is not innately our first form of energy. Now, ideally, we should be balanced, but many of the women who come to me who have hit burnout are spending their lives in this masculine energy and really losing their ability to connect with that deeper sort of, you know, I guess softer energy is also a way. It's not less powerful. Can I just underline that?
Actually, I'd probably say it's more powerful, isn't it, really?
Well, I think if you're operating from that and you are a woman and you're in touch with that form of energy, your ability to withstand a lot of the, you know, what happens in life is much greater. There's no doubt about it.
And I, because I work with primarily women that run their businesses, running a business has always been, you know, we've been taught by men how to run businesses.
Yes.
And I think this is why a lot of women struggle in business, because they have this innate feminine energy, but being out there and outgoing and active and masculine all the time is out of balance with what their innate body does. And that's why I think so many women, look, I know men get stressed too, and they have their own issues as well. But just with women, I think it's because of this, they don't know how to run a business highlighting or taking advantage of their feminine energy. Mm. They only know how to do it through a masculine energy. And yes, you do need some masculine energy, but I think that that's what causes a lot of stress, because particularly when women are running businesses and they're mums, and that's where the guilt comes in.
Mm-hmm,
because
absolutely.
Being a mum obviously is their feminine energy, they're nurturing and everything for their children, but then they kind of go, yeah, but I like my work, and but I should be with my kids, and all this stuff goes on in their heads.
That's it. And I think too, I mean, it's hard not to run a business with masculine energy, because as you say, all the models out there really are shaped around that masculine way of doing business. What I have found so magnificent over the last sort of 5 years in particular is that there is a shift in that, and I think that women are learning to actually value that there is a different way that business can happen, still be highly conducive to enhancing your lifestyle, your income and all the rest of it, but not be done using such masculine platforms. And, you know, I think when women are connected to themselves and when they have the ability to stay connected to themselves and they surround themselves by other people who want to operate from that authentic level as well, we are going to see some incredible changes on the planet. As women rise to this challenge of actually being powerful within their own energy, we are going to see some amazing transformations. It's a very exciting time, Angela.
I totally agree with you, because you can see it. And one of the quotes, quite often when I'm doing my presentations, I start with the Dalai Lama's quote, you know, mm-hmm. the world will be saved by Western women. But mm-hmm. then I generally say that, but not if she's a screaming stress mess under the table. Because that's what's happening, is that it will be, because the world is changing. And I actually think that you even see a lot of males are now being more acceptive of the feminine energy, and they're actually bringing that into big corporate. But it's women. I think a lot of the issue is that women still want to do it the way they've been taught, or they're just stressing themselves out. They're just so totally burnt out that they then get to the stage where they can't do anything more, and their businesses start to suffer because they're a screaming mess on the floor and everything falls apart. So do you see that as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I see women coming into me all the time for years have been really high achievers. And, you know, sometimes this is within my corporate work as well. You have men and women, but obviously my one-on-one clients are usually women, probably 85% of them are women. And what they have done is very, very successfully built their careers inside a male model of how a business should be run and how you should operate and conduct yourself. And they've just, the tanks have run dry. And they have, you know, no understanding of how that can be reversed, because all of the things that they previously did that worked for them are no longer working. And if I could just talk about one profession in particular, and that's lawyers. And female lawyers, operate within a very masculine type setting, and they are leaving the profession in droves because they can't operate at that level for very long without something going really wrong. So that's just one profession, but there are many of them, and I look forward to the day when women can keep that balance within themselves as can men, and we all work using the best of all of our strengths. Because, I mean, to some extent, that masculine energy of being out there, of promoting yourself, of, really sort of, I guess, just being very, very strong in who you are, to some extent, that is a masculine form of energy that's very helpful to building businesses, but it's not sustainable in the long term. You must have balance in there.
Yeah, and I think these days too, I think what we're seeing particularly in businesses is building a community and actually bringing a tribe with you, which is very much the feminine energy. And that's what's working. That's where I can see the shift, you know, even with what you see, some of the big, internet marketers and the coaches and everything all coming out of the States. It's very much about having that tribe. And Seth Godin talks about it, when in his writings and when he speaks, it's like, find your tribe of weird people. Because that's where I can see that marketing, it's all is about relationships, which is very feminine.
That's it. And you know, I think men are pretty sick of it as well.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. I think men are kind of over it too, which is why they're also doing the same thing. They're building tribes. Women do it so much easier when they're in flow.
Absolutely. And we're naturally about creating partnerships, creating relationships. And, you know, I think that there is, as you say, a number of coaches that are sort of coming out. And there's quite a few of them in Australia as well, which is wonderful in the wellness, health and wellness industry, that are really promoting that. Maintain your balance, build your tribe, and, you know, together, it's sustainable. It's as simple as that.
Can I talk to you a little bit about EFT?
Sure.
Because I do a little bit of EFT. I play around with it. Now, the philosophy around EFT is really about certain acupressure points, correct?
That is that's sort of like the mechanics of it, I guess. So I use a particular form of EFT or tapping, which is called faster EFT. And basically, it's a way to understand the mind. So, you know, you use the tools and techniques are that you use specific meridian points on the body to shift your emotions, shift your thinking, and also those points are used as a distraction mechanism as well. And what we're really doing is we're actually using the mind to change the brain. And sometimes this confuses people because they think that their mind is their brain, and often those two words are used interchangeably, but they are separate. And when we understand this, we can actually use one to change the other. And I'll just give your listeners a bit of an example. You know, sometimes you can be in a really, really bad mood. And there's a part of you that observes that. There's a part of you that goes, man, I am in a bad mood today, right? That is your mind. But your brain is the one that's producing the hormones and that's, you know, being directed and the body is experiencing that as a bad mood. So those are two separate things altogether. So that part of us that can also observe ourselves and be sort of, you know, critical and judgmental of ourselves and also, you know, really supportive and loving towards ourselves is the mind. And what I teach people to do is to actually use their mind to change their brain, which is where all the chemistry happens, and really create that authentic connection between the two to really establish that.
And I think you just answered my next question then, because one of the things I've always found unusual about EFT is the fact that you make negative statements. Even though I don't trust myself, I truly love myself or whatever it is, but you always start with a negative statement. Now, is that because that's your observation of what is happening? So you say, well, even though I can hear those thoughts going around in my head all the time, I truly love and accept myself. Is that kind of how that works? Because I do another technique called the Lifeline Technique, and we're very much into clearing the subconscious mind through love statements as opposed to actually bringing up the negative statements.
Yeah, so EFT is, again, you know, slightly different to the form that I use, but I have always really acknowledged and admired that about EFT, that you start off with a negative statement. And what I want to say about that is that the brain can't hold, or the mind rather, can't hold two things at once. So what you're doing is you're using a negative statement, which is basically a statement of the reality. Even though I'm in a really foul mood today, I deeply and completely accept myself. So those two things can't actually be held together for too long. So you're using a negative, or you're stating a negative, and then you're stating a positive, and what you're actually doing is collapsing the state. And that's what's really important. You're stating something that is real and felt for you, and then what you're giving to the mind is a directive of where it actually needs to go. So negative, positive, collapse.
Yep.
And that is what's so powerful about using tapping and some of the various EFT setup statements. And as I said, I use a slightly different variation of that, but the concepts are the same. We are using the mind to change the brain, because what that does then is changes our internal state.
Yeah, so and that sounds very similar to what I do, is because we move people from fear to love. Same
Absolutely.
Type of things. So,
absolutely.
Yes.
And, you know, often people talk about, well, is that, you know, why wouldn't you just do affirmation, just as one example? And my feeling on that is affirmations are extremely powerful, but affirmations are whatever it is you are focusing on. So if you're focusing on the negative, you're affirming the negative.
That's right.
If you're focusing on the positive, you're affirming the positive. So what we need to do is we need to clear out, if you've got a full garbage bin, putting a whole lot of positive affirmations on top of all rubbish that's already in the bin, you know, you're already over full.
That's right. And you're going to lose it because you're going to go back to your beliefs.
That's it.
Because, you know, affirmation means nothing if you've got a whole set of beliefs behind you that are telling you that that affirmation is a load of crap.
Exactly. And, you know, beliefs are things that we hold within them that are attached to proofs, so experiences that we've had, and they are also attached to sensation and feeling. And a really big part of the work that I do is actually connect people to what their beliefs might be and then the feeling that is associated with that. We change the feeling, we are altering the belief, because you know, you probably have a similar philosophy, Angela, that, well, I know you do, that the body is an expression of our emotions.
Yep.
And our belief system, and if we can change or alter those beliefs, then we can absolutely change what's occurring in the mind and the body.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Because and when the body's expressing something, it's because we've got a belief that's not working for us, or we haven't processed an emotion.
Exactly. And, you know, the actual tapping process, so it's often referred to as tapping, and that's because you literally are tapping on specific points on your body. And the tapping process accomplishes a number of different things. One, it taps into the traditional Chinese medicine meridian system, which are basically energy lines that run through the body. Second, it acts as a distraction, and this is, you know, more of a Western medicine sort of view of how the brain operates. Secondly, involved in the actual, when you're doing the tapping, there is a lot of imagery that's used, there's a lot of language that's used. It's a very provocative and evocative technique that enables people to experience things in a different way. And sometimes when we're locked in our own mind, when we're locked in our own body, we need to be provoked to be able to get a different kind of a perspective on what's happening.
So tell me, you've got a process, don't you, that you work your clients through when they come to you and they're stressed? Is it a 5-step process that you actually have?
That's right. So mine is called ADAPT, and each of those letters actually stands for a particular part of the process. So when people come in to see me, we start with this process, and the first A in ADAPT stands for assess. So we really nut down, okay, well, why have you taken this step to actually come and see someone? Tell me about what's going on in your life. The second letter is D, and that stands for distill, and we distill it down, because what happens is that when people come in, generally they're overwhelmed and everything feels hard. So we actually work out, okay, if there was one thing that we could make a breakthrough for you here today, what would it be? Let's really get very, very focused. And that's where we distill down to work out what do we need to focus on today that would make the greatest difference. Then I get the person to associate. So they actually learn to recognize the thoughts that are happening in their head and how that's actually appearing in their body. So how do they know that they actually have a problem? And people are often confused about that sort of question. So what I say to them is, okay, you're telling me that your sister-in-law is driving you nuts. How do you know that that's the case? Do you feel it? And this is a big part of, you know, reconnecting them, what's happening in the mind and what's happening in the body. How do you feel that your sister-in-law is driving you nuts, just as an example? So they associate the feelings with the particular problem that we have distilled
into. And that's so important, isn't it? Because people are not recognizing that. I think that's the thing. It's like people keep saying, make these statements, but they're not really associating about how they really feel.
Exactly.
We don't know our emotions. We don't know our feelings.
That's right. And that's where this disconnection and living from the neck up is so dangerous for us, because we tend to use the body as our oh, well, it's sort of like a bit of a, you know, a punching post, or it's a bit of a garbage bin. We just put all the stuff that we don't want to specifically deal with into our body, which is why our body turns around and, you know, lets us know about it. So where are we up to? We've assessed, we've distilled, we've associated the problem, and then we start the process. And the process is the actual tapping process. And there's sort of a lot more involved in that particular step than just doing the physical tapping, to do with that, you know, provocation and evocative nature of the language that you use. And then we test, because this is often something that is missing for many processes, and that is you need to be able to ask a person, okay, you were here when we started, and sometimes that's gauged out of 10. So you were a 9 out of 10 when we started. What is the number you are at now? And often with the work that I do, people have come down quite significantly, even in that first round of tapping that we do. But it's really important that they're able to assess that for themselves. Because I think it's all fine and dandy for people to have results when they're in the room with you, but their real life is happening outside of the room. And it's really important that what we give them, what we share with them, and the education that we provide enables them to take greater control outside of our room in that, you know, 1 hour consultation.
And that's what I found, because when I used to, I still work in clinic, but when I used to have a 3-month program, and it was very much about physical, you know, dealing with all the stress from the food and all that type of stuff. And at the end of 3 months, people were feeling great and they'd go on their way. But then I was also finding a couple of months later, they were back again.
Yes.
Because they hadn't learned how, and that was also my fault at the time, because I hadn't actually given them all the tools, or I hadn't addressed them. It was more about their mindset, because they had the tools around food and all of that, but we hadn't addressed their beliefs, and they were going back to where they'd been before they started, and then they're back in again, which is now why I tend to work for 6 months. 3 months I work on the physical stuff, and then after that it's about, okay, so what happens when this happens in your life? How are you going to deal with it? What tools do you need? What do you need to do? And really working on all the emotional side of things. Then I get a lot more results working with someone for that long, because you've actually given them that extra time, not just to make the physical changes, but to integrate it all into their life.
Absolutely. And belief is everything, Angela. It's the driving force behind every decision we make, the ways that we see the world, the ways that we, you know, see relationships, the way that we interact with people, how we perceive ourselves as parents, as business owners, as companions, as husbands and wives. Belief drives all of that. And, you know, it's tricky to introduce that idea to someone who's just come to see you because they keep getting headaches. Or, you know, so there is this real sort of education process that needs to occur. And what I do find with my clients is I have to give them enough evidence that they can shift the way that they are feeling. And when we do these different techniques, we're also altering the nervous system, because what happens when we're stressed is we have very little capability to take on new information. So we have to actually calm down the physical body, get the physical body back on board and operating, which is exactly what you said you do. And then we can move into the mind to, you know, really look at, okay, what needs to change here to keep these changes in place? And people are actually able to learn more at that stage.
Totally agree. Now I've got a, this is a question that every time you talk, I've got to ask that question. Disconnection. When do you think, because as children, we're connected. We're just one with the world. You know, children don't run around worrying about all these different things. They just are. When do you think this disconnection comes?
I think it's different for every single person, because if you think about the unique experiences of every child, I mean, if you just use, you know, yourself or myself as an example, I didn't have any major trauma when I was a small person. I had a lot of what I would call little T's, so little traumas. And what I do think is that often those little traumas are the ones that actually sort of sneakily accumulate. And, you know, we can also disconnect in certain situations. We can also disconnect around certain people. And I think that what happens is, unless we start to deal with that trauma, unless we start to deal with the beliefs that we generate through those experiences, they become stronger and stronger and stronger, and the degree of disconnection also escalates. And you know, many of my clients have reached that point where, as I said, they're no longer disconnected. I mean, they're no longer connected to their physical body, but they're also completely out of touch with their emotional sense of self as well. Mm. So I think it can happen at any time. I think it can happen multiple times, and I think it happens to varying degrees in every single person's life.
And I also think that then the Western way of medicine encourages it.
I agree.
The disconnection, because it's only, and medicine, Western medicine has its place, mm-hmm. but you know, seriously, if I get run over by a car, you could take me to hospital, please don't take mm-hmm. me to the local naturopath. But because it's so much about reductionist medicine, only looking at the symptoms and fixing a symptom rather than looking at the entire body, life, and everything that's presenting, you know, the whole body, the whole being. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's, I think, you know, where from children, I think children are learning these days that if something hurts, take a pill.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got pain, take a pill.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Western medicine has ruled supreme for a very, you know, last couple of hundred years, and it has helped to really bring us out of coping with, you know, plagues and major illnesses, wiping out huge portions of the population, etc. So it has absolutely played an incredible role in sort of the advancement of human beings. However, what the cost of that has been that we've really lost that connection to a much bigger picture. And I think that's exactly what, you know, fascinated me with traditional Chinese medicine. It has this incredible holistic approach. You are not just your mind, you are not just your body, you are not just a human being, you are actually connected energetically to everything else in our universe. Now, for some people, that's, you know, very sort of confronting. But, you know, there's many forms of science now that actually back this up, chaos theory. You know, there's many ways now that science is finally catching up to the philosophy and understanding of traditional Chinese medicine. And I think it can happen much more easily in the space we're at now than it could ever have happened, you know, 100 years or so ago when, you know, people were seen, you know, we were still burning women for prescribing herbs to other women as witches and that kind of stuff. I do think, Angela, you know, there's another whole conversation that you and I could have about that, you know, feminine energy.
And I think we will have that conversation again soon.
Yeah, about that, you know, being subverted because we've moved into a real patriarchal society, and that feminine energy was suppressed and destroyed. And that's kind of what happened. We could argue for hours, I'm sure, about whether that's what needed to happen, but certainly that is what happened, and the tide is now turning, and many men, as we've already discussed, and society as general, is starting to see that change in philosophy, that change in, and that recognition that balance is absolutely the key, not only for individuals but also for our planet.
And maybe one day they'll all also accept that all of our herbs aren't witch magic.
That's it. Exactly.
Your herbs and mine. Waiting for that day.
Yeah. I do need to clarify, Angela, I'm no longer practicing as a TCM practitioner. I use all of the philosophy and all of the learning that I have from that in my clinical practice as a faster EFT mm-hmm. practitioner, stress management specialist. So just to be clear on that, because otherwise my association might get a little bit nervous about, yeah.
No, so that's all right. I understand. I have the same issue with my association. Any of our listeners want to find more out about you or get your book, where's the best place for them to find out about what you do, learn more about all this stuff you're doing with the Faster EFT, get your book, and I know you've got an online program coming up too.
I do. So if people are interested, they can go to my website, which is drlindawilson.com, and that's Linda with an I, L-I-N-D-A, Wilson.com. And there's lots of resources and information on my website. And yes, I am in the process of actually getting a course up online, because, of course, there's only one of me, and I can't see, you know, I can't see every individual, unfortunately, as much as I absolutely love doing that. In regards to perhaps reading a little bit more about the philosophy behind what I do, my book is available. You can purchase that from the website, but if anybody would actually like to contact me on the website, I am running a special promotion just for your listeners, Angela, that they can contact me, and I'm happy to send out my book to people within Australia for the reduced price of $20, and that includes postage for my book. You can also Google me, send me, you know, an email through the website, and I'm really happy to chat to people about where they're at and what they're doing. And of course, if you're a corporate person, would love to chat to you about any programs that you're thinking of developing in-house.
And I highly recommend the book. Actually, if you go on the website, you'll know that I highly recommend the book, because one of my testimonials is up there. Absolutely. It is a great book. It's such an easy read, and there's all these great little exercises for you to do as well. So I highly recommend to any of our listeners that this is a really fantastic, easy read. Linda's written it in a language for people to really understand. It's not technical or anything like that. It's pretty easy for people to understand. I understood it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we need to be able to translate, don't we?
Yes.
As you know, we talked before about we have years and years and years of knowledge between us, but you need to be able to make that accessible to people, because otherwise, really, what's the point?
Well, that's right. And if people don't understand what you're saying because they're already stressed, they don't want to have to go and reinterpret it again, because they just won't.
Exactly. Too hard.
And now I've got a nice little fun question for you.
Oh, that's
nervous. don't be nervous. Who is your celebrity crush and why?
Oh, do you know what? I've still got one. So I don't know. I think Pink is just magnificent. And I seem to, you know, have this real celebrity crush on fabulous women entertainers. So
with pink hair.
Pink is just awesome. Jessie J is also fabulous. And my all-time favourite is Annie Lennox.
Uh-huh. So yeah, they've all got the hair stuff going on. Is it the hair that you like?
That's a really good point. I've never really sort of, maybe it is. I just think that they are absolutely kick-butt women. And what you see in them is a really magnificent expression of both creativity and, you know, just pure guts. Getting out there and really expressing themselves in the world. And I think, you know, it's magnificent, absolutely magnificent.
And I mean, I don't know a lot about Jessie J, but I know with the other two, there's also a very strong, there's a masculine side, but there's a very strong feminine side to it too.
Yeah.
Particularly, and I mean, I see it with Pink.
Yes. She, you know, is a businesswoman. She's an entertainer. She's also a mother. And she carries, you know, from as much as we can possibly know, Angela, given that they're not our best friends, unfortunately, you know, from what I have seen of her, you know, she carries, all of these women seem to carry that real strength within themselves and really express who they are. And I've got to admire that. I absolutely, you know, really admire it.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, and hopefully our listeners, I mean, I've been fascinated, but this is my stuff that I love talking about, and it's been absolutely fantastic. And we are going to talk about the real feminine energies and a little bit more of that later on, and, you know, burning witches at the stakes and things like that. Let's have you back again to talk more about that. And for our listeners, if you love this episode, or if you've got any questions for Linda, then pop over to the website, www.angelacouncil.com. I'll also put the link to Linda's website on the show notes, so you can actually link over there. Leave a comment under the post. If you really love the episode and you want to hear more of these interviews that I'm doing with fantastic people, I love doing these interviews. I just have so much fun. Pop over to iTunes and subscribe to our channel. And while you're over there, please leave me a 5-star rating, because I love those 5-star ratings. Until next week, when we're going to talk to someone else about health, wealth, and wisdom. Infinite love and gratitude. See you then. Bye. Thank you very much. That was good.
No worries. Okay, good. I hope I sort of, you know, express things clearly.
Was that fun for you?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I could talk till the cows come home.
So let's do another session sometime and let's talk, because I really want to, let's really investigate where this, the shift came from the women's wisdom into male wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a little bit of a think about that, and let's have a bit more of a discussion about that, because, you know, I think that's the type of stuff I'd like to get out there.
Mm.
And because I think a lot of women are, you're right, they're not connected into their femininity, but if they had that history, that would actually help them. I also work with someone, I don't know if you know Diane McCann, she runs goddess workshops.
I haven't heard.
She's based in South Australia. She's she also runs Lifeline Technique Australia. Which is the process I do. And she does a lot of this type of work too.
Beautiful.
So I think we can have a few more discussions around that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, organised religion has a lot to answer for with this.
Oh, totally. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of I think it was the beginning of the end, really.
That and the surgeons, or the barber surgeons.
Mm.
Which was really scary when you think of how medicine started. Okay, well, thanks for your time. We're going to chat again. What I do need from you, is just a bio photo. If you can just send that through to support@angelacouncil.com.
Yep, did that this morning.
Oh, okay, that's done. Good.
Yep.
I'm going to launch the podcast probably the beginning of November. Mm-hmm. If you've got a specific date, because I'm just doing a whole pile of interviews at the moment, if you've got a specific date you want this to go live, let me know. So if you're going to do a push of your online program or anything like that, let mm-hmm. me know, and then I'll schedule it to go out then.
Awesome. That'd be great. Thanks, Angela. Have a fantastic day, and thanks so much for the opportunity again. I really appreciate it.
It's been fun. Right. Thanks.
Right. See ya.
Bye. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not pop over to my website, angelacouncil.com, and do your stress quiz to find out how stress is affecting you in your life. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.